whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now to catch up with one of our favorite Cowboys writers, John Machota of The Athletic, and we'll get to him here in just a minute. General at your service. If you see me, bear me, N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive, Super Bowl champion. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Woolchuck's in the house. Lucius Alexander is master control over there. Eric Chiafalo was sick today, so send him some love on social media. Let him know he's missed, and let him know to get well soon as John Machota joins you now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining us. What a day. As the Bears have asked for permission to chat with Mike McCarthy, is there any indication yet the Cowboys have granted that permission?
I have no knowledge of that, and that will be fascinating to see if they do, because that seems like that would be kind of telling, that if they were to grant that permission, that would seem like they are ready to move in another direction. I would think that the longer that no other teams talk to Mike McCarthy and the longer things go on, I would think that that means that Mike is probably coming back. So that was an interesting report to surface recently. But, you know, when Jerry was asked about it after the game, he kind of compared it to the Ezekiel Elliott situation, where he's like, well, Ezekiel Elliott wanted out, and so I allowed him to, you know, go see what other opportunities are out there, and that he wants people around that want to be here. So almost making it sound like that if Mike was to talk to another team, then maybe he doesn't want to be here, and so he would allow that to happen. Well, we'll see if he allows that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Do you think there's a chance that as this reported meeting between Mike and Jerry gets underway either this afternoon or evening, that we could have a deal tonight, you think, or early tomorrow morning?
I mean, it's possible. I've just felt like the way the Cowboys operate, it's probably something that happens, you know, let's be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if it was something that happened at the end of the week or even going into these wild card games, just because that's how Cowboys do business. I mean, that's how it was with Jason Garrett. You know, I think Jerry will allow Mike to do all of his exit interviews with all his players. Those usually take a couple days, and then he'll meet with Mike at the end of all of those. And so, yeah, maybe it comes together quickly, but I don't know. It's like covering the Cowboys. There's just so few things that come together quickly. I mean, you obviously see it with the contract extensions for the top players that you know that they want to bring back, and they constantly go until like the 11th hour until they finally get done. And so because of that, it's kind of like, I'll believe it when I see it. I just think it's going to be kind of dragged out a little bit.
So you think if tomorrow there's no permission given to Mike McCarthy to chat with the Bears, but there's no announcement of a new deal, we'll just be hanging in that ambiguity territory that Jerry's so comfortable with?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Jerry's comfortable in there, but so few other people are comfortable in that situation. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, Jerry talked yesterday outside the locker room, and I think in the total it was probably about 40 minutes. And I'll say this, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, want to say that, yeah, he's lost his fastball and things like that. Sitting there around that entire 40 minutes, like for him to stand there, not try and walk away, answer every question you answer or you ask of him, and he gives you enough to where you're like, yeah, I could kind of see him. It sounds like Mike's coming back. And then the next minute you're like, yeah, I don't know if he's saying that. It sounds like that Mike's gone and they're going another direction. And he can do that for 40 minutes, never once acting like, guys, I got to go. I got to go. Like, it's like sport to him. He enjoys that. Like, it's fun for him. And it's pretty entertaining, because even after he leaves, you know, there's a lot of people that have covered the team even longer than me. And we're sitting there talking like, yeah, which way do you think he's leaning on this? Like, it's hard to tell. Like, and I think he really enjoys that. He likes the fact that we're talking about these things.
It's crazy. The great John Machota joining us here of The Athletic inside the G-Bag Nation. When it comes to Zim, I know also he was kind of noncommittal on whether he wanted to come back. Do you think there's a part of this where they want to see what Zimmer is going to do before they fully commit to McCarthy? Like, are they somewhat tied together?
I don't think that they are. I think that they'll decide McCarthy first before Zimmer. And you know, and just it's tough to know on Zimmer if he wants to really come back. You know, I mean, you know, in hearing like Micah after the game and then, you know, today in the locker room, it just kind of makes you feel like that the players even think that maybe he wants to ride off into the sunset. I think that's the wording that Micah used. So I think that one, there's a lot more uncertainty there. I think that that's That's a secondary thing. I don't think that that's connected with Mike McCarthy. I think that they'll want to get that situation figured out, whatever they're going to do at head coach before they move on to the defensive coordinator.
Do you feel like, John, that, you know, you talked about the Zimmer situation. Do you feel like that we might be in now for our third defensive coordinator here? You know, with the situation, with Dan leaving, of course, and then Mike leaving, and now, I mean, is this going to be, or do you feel like that there's a candidate that they might want to name the defensive coordinator on this current staff?
I really don't think so. I think if it's anybody on the current staff, I think it would be Mike Zimmer just retaining that spot for to keep the continuity and build off of what they how they started to improve and kind of, you know, work his system more as the season went on. I think that would make a lot of sense, but I think if it's not Mike Zimmer, I think it's somebody that's not in the building. And yeah, to your point, that would be the third different defensive coordinator. And that's usually not a great thing. You want some continuity there from year to year. Obviously that worked with Dan Quinn, but I will say this, you know, just covering the team and just being around the team, there is a part of it where you're just kind of like, you know, something needs to change. I don't know how you can keep doing the exact same thing and expect to have different results, you know, in January. So, you know, yeah, you want continuity, but at the same time, sometimes you got to make a change to shake things up. And when you do that, you know that there's a chance that when you make that change, that things could be worse than they are right now. But that's the risk that you take.
Yeah, John Machota here with you on The Fan. Now, before we continue with those other conversations about the offseason and Mike and maybe even the draft and all that, I saw on your Twitter page Tyreek Hill's next team odds with the Cowboys favored at 3-1. Is there something here, or is this just fun?
I think it's probably fun, and the only reason I say that is because I get these emails quite often, and I'm not saying every player the Cowboys are high on the list, but the Cowboys are usually in the mix. I tweeted that out because I was surprised that the Cowboys were actually the number one team. I think that Tyreek Hill, that was a possibility, would love to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Especially play opposite of CeeDee Lamb. But my thing is that I think, well, one, they'd have to figure out the head coach first and what they're going to do there. But the other thing is the financial side of it. Like, are the Cowboys really willing to find a way to make something like that work? From just what I see from their roster building up to this point, that seems highly unlikely. But it is the Cowboys, and if a player really wants to play for them and is willing to work some things out, like, I guess it's a possibility. And let's be honest, like, can anybody say definitively right now who their number two wide receiver is next year? I mean, I don't think that they know that for certain. I mean, I think it's a spot that you might have to look at pretty early in the draft because, you know, that's a spot that they just really haven't had. So it would make a lot of sense. And if this was the San Francisco 49ers or the Philadelphia Eagles with how aggressive they are, I would say, oh yeah, no, it's a real possibility. But you just look at the way the Cowboys have roster built. Like, there's just not many guys they pay significantly that aren't guys that they drafted.
Well, their first-round pick, Tyler Guyton, I wonder, what do you think their feelings are for him heading into next year? I mean, you were hoping he'd be in line with the plug-and-play offensive lineman. He'd be your starting left tackle. But then even yesterday, they're pulling him out for Austin Richards.
Yeah, I don't think that their confidence is wavered in what he can be. You know, obviously they were hoping for a better rookie year from him, but I don't think that means that they would be writing him off. That would be too soon. And I think part of it comes from just with the Cowboys, you know, having pretty quick success with Tyron and Zach and Travis, and then obviously with Tyler Smith. I think that you give him time. I think he'll be fine just because of the fact that he's also moving positions this year from, you know, right tackle to left tackle. I mean, it didn't go as smooth, but I think the biggest thing that the Cowboys would say is that they need him to be available more. You know, there was a lot of injuries and things like that not only kept him out of games, but kept him out of practices and things like that. And so, but I don't think that they're wavering about him being their left tackle of the future.
John, what about the key free agents here with Martin and Tank and Lewis and Osa? Do we just say goodbye to all of them with their cap approach, or do you think there's a chance that some of them come back?
Yeah, I know. I mean, especially after last year when, you know, they basically lost everybody, that, you know, the Dorrances and Dante Fowlers and Biadasz, like any of the guys that were getting respectable offers, like, pretty much were out. And so that would make you think that if that happens again, that I don't see how they're going to be able to bring back Osa. I just think that he'll get the most money out of that group. But it would be interesting to see, like, a big thing for me would be, like, and I don't even expect this to happen, but it would be pretty wild if they got a contract extension done with Micah Parsons before free agency started, because that would give them some more wiggle room and things like that. And Micah has said all the right things about how he's willing to do that, about how he doesn't need to be a highest paid defensive player, that he's willing to work with them so they could potentially bring some of those guys back. So if they don't get something done with Micah before free agency, I don't see it being where they're bringing back many of those guys. So I think it would be one of those things where, yeah, okay, what guys come on somewhat team-friendly, like they're good deals for the Cowboys, you know, and maybe that's Jordan Lewis. You know, I think this is Jordan Lewis's last chance to, on a good contract in his career just because of his age. Mm-hmm. And so maybe another team offers him something better, but I think that's the player they'd really like to have back. They'd really like to have all those guys back. I just think that it's going to be one of those things where, like, it's going to have to be at the Cowboys' number.
What's the best case scenario to you with the 12th pick? I mean, I feel like there's so many needs everywhere that just get a really good player.
I agree. And that's when they've been the best, is when it's the position that you're thinking even 5 minutes before the draft starts, they've been at their best when they just take whatever's the best guy available, whether it's Agreed. Zach Martin, yeah. CeeDee Lamb, who's the more recent? Well, obviously Mike would be a more recent one. I mean, everybody thought they would go corner in that draft, and man, did that end up great for them. So that would be my plan. Hey, if there's a great edge rusher, and that might not be your biggest need, go get the guy. If that's the guy that you're just like, I can't believe this guy is here, we can pair him with Micah, I'm totally on board with that. But if all of that's wiped out, for me, I go Ashton Jeanty, because that gives me the best chance to put a spark into this offense, because I don't think they're going to go get Tyreek Hill. I don't think that they're going to go spend on a big-time number two receiver. And so I think that Ashton Jeanty would be the guy that, almost like 2016 with Zeke, that could just really give you a spark that obviously helps the offense and changes the offense a little bit, but also, you know, helps Dak, and then it helps the defense too. So that's me. I know not everybody loves him, but I see some of the Zeke 2016 in that type of pick.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Jeanty's a hell of a player. If McCarthy is not brought back, do you have a short list of any names that you think would be realistic? I've thrown out today, John, Kellen Moore, just because of the affinity that they have for him. They know him, and maybe that would make Dak happy.
Yeah, I don't think you can completely rule that one out. The thing that's interesting about Kellen Moore, and then obviously people talk about, you know, Ben Johnson quite a bit, is, well, how deep do those teams go in the playoffs? Like, are they going, like, there's a good chance it's either the Eagles or Lions in the Super Bowl. So you're waiting all the way to the Super Bowl. I just, that would be kind of wild. But I have my doubts that they go the coordinator route. I just feel like at Jerry's age, he's going to go with somebody that's a previous head coach. And so I feel like if a lot of us are running the team, we would probably lean in towards the offensive coordinator from another team, like, you know, like a Ben Johnson or somebody. I just don't get the sense that Jerry's going to want to do that. If Jerry goes in another direction, I just think it's going to be someone that, like, I think a John Gruden has a better chance than it being one of these young offensive coordinators.
Hey, John, which one of these things happened that gets Jerry off his ass? The Vrabel interview or McCarthy getting the asking permission from the Bears?
Probably McCarthy with the Bears. I just think that would put everything into motion. That, and I say that because Jerry could take that in a way as like almost like it could bother him. Like, how, I can't believe Mike would want to do that. Like,
sure,
you know, you get a chance to continue being a Cowboy. Everybody should want to be a Cowboy, and it's not difficult to see how Jerry would think of things that way. And so that could honestly like force Jerry's hand, where maybe like right now, because I certainly think he's still waffling. Like, he doesn't know 100% for certain which way he's going. He's still like kind of going to drag it out a couple more days. But that could be one of those things where Mike comes to him and is like, no, I want to interview with them, where Jerry's like, okay, well then I'm going another direction. You know, I needed it to be definitive that you wanted to be here.
Yeah, I think that thing's really interesting. And, you know, yesterday Mike made such a big impression that this is where I want to be. I'm a winner. Do you think that could change if the Cowboys are chatting with him tonight and won't give him permission to interview with the Bears? Would Mike McCarthy's approach to this or mindset about the relationship with Jerry change?
It certainly could. You know, I mean, he has said how, you know, he hasn't had conversations with Jerry about the contract per se, but I just feel like he's probably got a way better read on it than he's probably even letting us know. And so I think that factors in too, you know, to see him, you know, after the game, waiting at that locker room doors to like, you know, hug all the coaches and stuff coming in, you know, like there was just something about it. And then just last week, how he was talking about, like, it just seems like he knows that there's a good chance that you know, Sunday's game could have been his last as the Cowboys head coach. And so I think he has a feel probably where Jerry's leaning. But I don't know for certain, and it's kind of crazy with the Cowboys and just how much local and the national media coverage they get, that there hasn't been a name that's leaked out or of just like, hey, Jerry really likes this guy. He probably wants to keep Mike, but he really likes this coach. Like, there's been none of that. And because of that, that's why I've always kept that window cracked to, like, don't be surprised if Mike McCarthy comes back, because there isn't that other name out there like we've had for so many years with Sean Payton, where you're like, oh, well, Jerry's just going to go get that guy. That guy does not exist right now.
What'd you think of him saying he didn't know about the Cooper Rush incentives?
So I believe him to a certain extent, because he also did say in that he didn't know about it until he read it in an article that was written after, because Cooper Rush talked in the locker room this week about that. So I do believe that to a certain extent, like that. I do believe he knew going into that game, but I don't know that he knew, let's say, a week ago, which I guess some people could be critical of that, because your title is general manager of the team. Those would be things that you think that the general manager would know. But I don't think that I understand it's a storyline that, especially when, you know, a lot of people are critical of Jerry. I don't think that it was one of these things where Jerry's like, oh, I'm just going to be cheap here. I don't want to pay this guy. So, Mike, you're starting Trey Lance on Sunday. I don't think that was the case at all.
John, terrific work once again. Enjoy the off season best you can, and we can't wait to see you next time.
Absolutely, boys. Have a good day.
There he goes, John Michaud. A must follow there on Cowboys Twitter. Catch up, read his stuff, listen to him on the Athletics platforms.